Bucks Pocket to the shores of Orange Beach and all points in between. An insider's perspective on Alabama politics. It's the Jeff Poor Show.
I don't think Hank done it this way.
Welcome back to the Jeff Poor Show at FM Talk 106.5, 7 minutes after the hour on this Monday morning. Thank you so much for listening. About a half hour from now, we'll talk to State Representative Gil Isbell of Gadsden. He'll join us. We're still awaiting the, hopefully we could get her on, Fairhope Mayor Sherry Sullivan, waiting her call. But we'll try to get that connected and make that work here in just a little bit. 251-343-0106 if you would like to weigh in on anything. Funny thing happened on Saturday. And Jim Acosta, y'all familiar with Jim Acosta of CNN? How can you not be, right? I don't know. What do y'all do on your day off? Well, Jim Acosta, he has taken on he takes his job very seriously. He takes himself very seriously. I've actually been around this man during the 16 campaign. He was the Trump campaign beat reporter, so they would put us all in the bullpen together at all the Trump rallies, and he'd be there. And you know, the crowd would be cheering on CNN sucks, CNN sucks. And that, I guess, was a rallying cry or something. And he'd be like, kind of like enjoying it. You know, I couldn't imagine my employer and having a hostile crowd somewhere just chanting at me how terrible I am. But he's a guy that likes the limelight. He likes attention. So he's spending his day off or something. He does a show on CNN a couple of hours a day on the weekends. He's out at the, the eastern side of the United States Capitol. And Congressman Mo Brooks has a bicycle. Mo Brooks, running for U.S. Senator, apparently rides a bicycle around Washington, D.C. when he can. And Jim Acosta attempts to stop Congressman Brooks and get him to say, Congressman, is there any way we can get you to talk about January 6th? This is how you probably ought to handle CNN if you're a Republican lawmaker. I think Marjorie Taylor Greene actually talk to CNN, but Congressman Brooks just says, I do not do interviews with CNN because I do not trust CNN to be honorable or truthful. And then they go back and forth, back and forth, back and forth, and then finally Congressman Brooks gets on his bicycle and rolls out of there away from the Capitol. But there's video of it up, and there's something I would play you the audio, but the video really does it more justice because the audio is very hard to hear. But if you want to know how Republican politicians ought to handle CNN, the most trusted name in news, then take a page out of Mo Brooks' playbook there. The video is up on yellhammernews.com, by the way, if you want to check it out. But also, Congressman Brooks riding a, it's like a mountain bike around D.C. And it's hard to tell from this grainy video, but also kind of interesting. That's how you handle the mainstream media. 251-343-0106. So still talking about a bunch of things going on. News cycle kind of, I don't know, in a weird place right now. Obviously, this condo that collapsed down in South Florida, dominating the news and the discussion. I think you're going to see a lot of looking at infrastructure and building and these building materials built in 1981. And there are a bunch of these buildings north of Miami, but that's kind of where the news cycle is focused right now. Over the weekend, they tried to make some kind of I think it was the Washington Post, tried to make some kind of deal out of Governor DeSantis not being responsive enough, but then that was debunked immediately. Otherwise, a couple of things I have been focusing on. If you haven't been listening to the entirety of the program in the first hour, we talked a lot about what Dale Jackson and I talked about, 14-year-olds getting vaccinated at public schools. Very, very 14-year-olds getting vaccinated, very strange in my mind. As it is, but apparently in Alabama, and this is law, it's all legal what's going on here, that the age of consent for medicine, and this would be, I guess, categorized as medicine or medical procedures, is 14. That apparently if you go to the doctor and the doctor has something to tell, you know, if you're 14 years old and you have some abnormality or something that is cause for concern, you have, your parent has to get permission to be in there when they discuss it. So that's, you know, that, that's a very interesting concept to me. Oh, here we go. Looks like we have Mayor Sullivan on the line here. Better late than never. Always glad she can make time for us. Mayor, how are you this morning?
Good. How are you? I should have put an ID on your number, so I would have known the number when you called.
Well, well, you got it now, but thanks for calling in. Certainly do appreciate it. Yeah, and by the way, my wife and I have just purchased a home, or on the verge of purchasing. I guess it's not official in your city, so you will have a new resident or two here. Very
good.
Soon.
I'm glad to hear that. You'll love living here.
But let's get right into it. First off, I want to get your thoughts on this. I see that you got a lot of work done just right before that last little tropical wave came through the area on the pier. But it looks like you guys are still kind of working through some of the things, the remnants of the last hurricane season.
We are. So we just had wrapped up the work that we were doing on the south end bulkhead from the damage that we had received from Sally and from Zeta. And really the temporary fix that we did until we can move forward with that working waterfront project really held up well. So I'm really excited to see that and just to have that repair done.
Yeah, and I guess we got an early kind of glimpse of what to expect with this hurricane season. Do you see some places that need to be shored up? Do you feel pretty good about where the city is with what could be a very prolonged hurricane tropical weather season?
There are some things that we still need to do to button up a little bit, and I do think that tropical storm that came through, or tropical depression, was a good test for us. We, of course, as a city, begin meeting in the 1st of June, end of May, to go over our disaster plan and to talk about some things that we need to do. But certainly from an infrastructure standpoint, some generators on some lift stations, and also, you know, on the pier itself in that waterfront area, getting that bulkhead repaired and making sure that it's going to weather the storms is very important. And then, you know, we still have some work to do on the pier after Hurricane Sally, and so at Marina specifically, so making sure we get those things taken care of before we really get a good-sized storm come through.
Now, Mayor, we haven't talked a whole lot since the election, but opportunity here. How is it going down your way? How has it been this for you? You're no stranger to municipal government. You know how everything kind of works, but now that you're the mayor, how has that been going?
It really has been going well. I think that, you know, just there was a lot of projects that were sitting still. And to get those things moving, I'm really proud that we've been able to do that, from, you know, drainage projects to the alleyway project that was actually, when I worked for Fairhope in 2017, was being talked about. So that actually just went to bid, and it will start hopefully in July. But see some of these bigger projects start to happen, and to see the improvements that we're making is, you know, it makes me proud of our staff and of our city council to get these things moving.
Yeah, and I mean, you seem to be, things seem to be going maybe a little bit better now. I'm not trying to cast aspersions on anybody, but things do seem to have changed a little bit. Maybe the culture has changed. Is that a fair assessment?
It is a fair assessment, and I think that, you know, that's one thing that people just like to see, the cooperation. And again, some of those larger projects, you aren't able to move forward if you're not able to have some respectful dialogue and to be able to come to a consensus about these projects. So I think that, you know, the relationship between myself and the council has really helped. Obviously, there are things that we don't agree upon and things that we have to debate, but we try, again, to do that very respectfully and make sure that we are, you know, making the things that are important a priority and making sure that we're just moving these projects along the way they need to be moved along.
Now, Mayor, obviously the whole country's been dealing with COVID-19 coronavirus. The federal government putting out some money out there to take care of some unforeseen expenses. Is your city in line for any of this? Any of these federal monies? Have you had those discussions?
We are actually. You know, we got some money before through the CARES Act that we were able to use for some things for prevention and things that we needed to use to sanitize, you know, the building, and also do some reimbursement for some employee expenses. The American Rescue Plan, we are getting $1.9 million. That's on our work session agenda tonight to discuss what we're going to do with that money. I would say a hallway conversation, what has been said was we're going to look at possibly reimbursing ourselves from some lost revenues. And also the second part of that will be using that money for some infrastructure upgrades to our water and sewer department. So looking at some specific projects on lift stations and some other things that clearly meet the scope of the American Rescue Plan.
Well, and were there a lot of expenses incurred during that ordeal? You know, the usual PPE and I guess signage or whatever, things we see and we kind of took it for granted, but it did come at a cost.
Yeah, they did. I mean, the signage and the PPEs, the masks, the hand sanitizers, the backpack sanitizers that you buy to do the larger buildings. But the other things, you know, just lost employee time. Some of the other things that you had to look at were, you know, you want to put plexiglass up in front of customer service counters and those kind of things. So, yes, there was a lot of expense with it. And so it was nice to have that money to be able to reimburse our, you know, accounts for those expenses that we had.
Finally, Mayor, we're a little short on time here, but are you watching the I-10 A bridge, those discussions? There does seem to be an idea of a truck route or, you know, that it's a much more scaled down proposal, but does it look like something maybe you guys on the Eastern Shore could get behind?
So, yeah, obviously I sit on the policy board for the MPO, for the Eastern Shore MPO, and Councilman Burrell is the chair of that, so there's been a lot of conversation around it. You know, I don't think the truck route is the perfect plan, but I do think that it's a starting point for getting that back on the tip for us to be able to start to have discussions about how, you know, we can move forward with that project. Because we all know, I mean, I sat in traffic this weekend coming back from Mobile, so we all know that we need a bridge. It's just what that bridge looks like. So I think that the Eastern Shore MPO collectively is happy to put it back on the tip to start dialogue, but I think everybody knows that it needs to be a bridge. Not only for trucks, but passenger cars also. So I'm hoping that we can, you know, everybody can really start digging into this and find funding and find a plan that will be inclusive for all types of transportation.
I mean, the truck plan sounds like a Band-Aid to the bigger problem, but and while we talk about Band-Aids and that, this has been a problem for the last 100 years from one side of the bay to the other. Ferries, bridges, causeways, bayways, tunnels, we've done it all. That truck bridge, aside from it being not inclusive of, you know, all traffic, it doesn't seem like it really addresses the problem as a whole.
It doesn't, and I think part of the reason they started looking at that is because the amount of truck traffic that we see, and obviously a lot of the accidents on the bayway that slow people down are caused by truck traffic. I still think that you're going to have that, and again, I think that you're right. It's only a Band-Aid, and that we need to look at the bigger picture, and we need to have something that, you know, passenger cars are able to use and trucks are able to use as long as we maintain those legacy routes. So, I mean, because obviously there's going to be a toll. I mean, I don't know what that toll is going to look like right now. I think it's going to be a small toll. But I do think as a passenger vehicle, if you choose to use that bridge, that you will pay a toll, but we will maintain, hopefully, those legacy routes.
Mayor, we're up against a break here, but you've been very kind with your time. Thank you for coming on this morning.
No, thank you for having me. I appreciate it. Again, I apologize for calling in a little bit late.
That's okay. We'll talk again soon. That's Fairhope okay. Mayor Sherry Sullivan on the line there. Let's get a break in here. We'll be right back. This is the Jeff Porch Show on FM Talk 106.5. Shut my mouth. Gone with the wind. There ain't nobody looking back again.